Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, and if you've ever felt stuck trying to learn jazz piano from a million different sources, this show is definitely for you. Each week, I break things down step by step to help you play with more freedom, more confidence, and a whole lot more swing. Everything I share here ties back to the system that I created and that we use inside the Jazz Piano School membership. So if you're ready for more structure and progress, I'll tell you how to check that out at the end of this episode. And hey, if you're enjoying this kind of real-world guidance, make sure to hit follow or subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. So this particular episode is going to be about utilizing very simple techniques for your improvisation and not starting with scales. Yes, that probably sounds great to you. It's probably making you extremely happy to hear me say that. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. I'm your host as always here. I'm really excited about this particular episode. Sorry, something just fell in my studio. I'm really excited about this. I am a little bit sick, but bear with me. I think I can get through this. It's kind of a teeny cold, so I'm doing all right. But I'm excited about this. This particular improvisation episode is essentially brought to you by my new Goal 3 Proficient Jazz Piano Improviser. Now, this goal is one of three goals in the Proficient Jazz Pianist course. Goals 1 and 2 have been released. Goal 3 is being released on Black Friday. If you're a member, you'll get access to that completely free. If you're not a member, it's going to be wrapped up and included in our amazing Black Friday offer, along with free access to our upgraded platform that we're releasing in 2026 and a lot of other goodies, not to mention a significant discount, because obviously what would Black Friday be without that? You can go to jazzpianoschool.com/Black Friday 2025. Wow, I forgot the URL for a sec. jazzpianoschool.com/Black Friday 2025 to get more information about that. But so many times in improvisation, I see students just working on scales and modes. Now, maybe this is given them from the teacher. They're trying to work on their altered scale, right? They're trying to work on their blues scale, right? Whatever it is, a lot of different types of scales are available at your disposal in jazz. But, in goal 3 of the Proficient Jazz Piano Improviser, the main majority of what I focus on is fundamentals that make music and help you sound better that are going to carry over for the rest of your journey. All right, listen closely. I want you to listen really, really closely right now, because I'm going to say something very, very important that holds a lot of weight, that will completely transform your jazz piano progress and career if you take it to the heart and you use it for the rest of your life. Okay, you ready? Get ready. I promise you I'm not hyping this up, because this is literally the secret to becoming an amazing jazz pianist. Here's the deal. If you are as diligent and you have a fire inside of you that I once did, I still do, right? To learn everything about jazz piano that you possibly can, eventually, the notes will become obsolete. What do I mean by that? I'm going to play demos for you in a second regarding all of the textures that I want you to explore, but I really want you to hear this simple nugget up front before we launch into that. I used to practice lots. I don't practice that much anymore. I'm older. I have a wife. I play gigs. I run a business. I perform more than I needed to. I need to practice now. It's just the kind of the fact of the matter. And back in the day, there were things I just didn't know that I knew I needed to know. And I'm sure there's things right now that you know you need to know and practice that you don't know how to play, right? That might be your rootless voicings. It might be your dominant rootless voicings with your flat 9 instead of a natural 9. It could be an altered scale. It could be your bebop approach notes. It could be your chord tones, something as simple as improvising with your chord tones. It could be your two-handed voicings. It could be drop 2s. Whatever it is, right? Now, I set out on a path, and I see students do this, and they start learning all the stuff. They start learning all the notes, all the theory, everything that's included in jazz piano. I did the same thing myself. And eventually, it didn't take that long, but once I was out of college, maybe a year or two, I pretty much learned everything for the most part that I needed to know about notes. Now, okay, let's not split hairs here, okay? Don't be that person that's like, well, can you play Giant Steps, Coltrane solo in all keys? No, of course not. But I'm saying, like, if you set out to learn pretty much the bulk of what it's required to be an excellent jazz pianist, you're going to learn all the stuff. You're going to learn all the notes. You're going to learn all the voicings. You're going to learn all the things. You're going to understand it so well that eventually the notes become obsolete. So what happens at that point is my question. And I really love asking this question. I loved asking this question forever since I was young. And I would ask it, and I still ask it to this day, because when I go see a concert, there's things that separate musicians, right, apart from other musicians. And it's not theory or notes, right? If you go hear an amazing concert or performance by XYZ, and then you go hear another concert by another famous musician, but for some reason, and you can't tell why, you don't really know, but you are really moved, you know, maybe to tears, to inspiration, to feelings inside of you by the music you heard from one artist, and you felt not really much about the music you heard from another artist. What is that? Right? Because I promise you, it doesn't have to do with how many altered scales they're using, how many pentatonic patterns they were using, how many Coltrane licks, right? How many, it doesn't even matter, like what language they're using. It doesn't really, none of that matters. Because at that point, it's so far past what the notes are on the page or the theory or the pattern. It's so far past that, that the thing that matters in those situations, because both artists are so good, they're at such a high level, but they move past the notes. There's other things that start to set musicians apart from each other and bring you past the notes. And those things, my friends, if you can start to work on them early, if you can start to work on those that early, then everything else you learn will compound and you will make more progress than you have ever before. But you got to focus on those things early, right? Now, it's not to say I'm not teaching you theory and fundamentals and things that you need in the course. Of course I am. But there's other components and textures that I'm going to talk about right now that you have to start thinking about. And it's a mindset. It's a musical making mindset, right? So let's talk about it. When I teach my my live program students, like my mastermind students, my VIP coaching students, so many of them get moved on so fast just because I'm working with them personally or my coaches are working with them personally. And they get to a point where like they've learned so much stuff and they don't need any more learning. They need to do more and extract better sound out of what they are already playing, okay? So I did a short demo for you up front of the blues. I'm going to use the blues today because it's such a great demonstration form. The first thing I want you to think about is swing, okay? And this is going to sound crazy, but if all you did was just focus on playing a couple notes that swung harder than you ever have swung before. Like I guarantee 9 out of 10 listeners right now, their swing probably isn't locked in. It's probably not great. It might be decent. It probably is not as good as it could be. But if all you did in jazz and in music was learn how to swing real hard, that skill set in itself would take you further than learning your half whole scale, your altered scale, your diminished chords, your stacked diminished, different sorts of patterns, because none of that matters, right? Without an amazing swing feel. So the first demo I gave for you was just a simple demo with a couple notes focusing on a bunch of different textures I'm going to talk about today, but just swing feel, focusing on swinging harder. You're going to need that You're never not going to need that, right? So why wouldn't you work hard on it early in your starting up or wherever you're at right now? If you're not swinging well right now, and you know it, and other people know it, right? Why wouldn't you work on that? Because that's one of the biggest things in jazz. You got to swing, you know? So if I do a demo, I'll do this nice and slow, gritty, dirty, swinging, right? A 1, 2, 3. Right. So all I was focused on there was the feel, the groove, the swing. Okay. So number one, focus in on the swing, right? Just work on the swing. Number two, now this could be kind of grouped in the same category as swing, but rhythm. Rhythm. You got to focus on different types of rhythmic varieties. Most of the time in a blues or any other bebop tune or any tune for that matter, when I hear a student improvise, the variety of rhythms that I hear are comprised of quarter notes and eighth notes. That's it. That's it, right? So what do you think I'm focusing on in the goal three of the Proficient Jazz Piano Improviser, right? That's being released on Black Friday. I'm focusing on a rhythmic mindset to help you break out of that because this is one of the things that's going to help you improve significantly. So check it out. If I just use quarters and eighth notes, here's what it might sound like. Pretty boring and just kind of bland for that matter. And if I'm focusing on other types of rhythmic varieties, meaning triplets, definitely triplets, any sort of 16th note triplets, any sort of 16th note, 16th note ornaments, everything is going to be so much more rhythmically desirable, spicy, right? So with that, even off the bat, I could go, triplet, triplet, trip, right? So I could go. This, da, 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 right? Or all triplets, triplet, triplet. Different types of rhythms that you're hearing that you're like, what is that? There's a little bit of delay of time and kind of laying back, but there's a lot of different types of rhythmic, you know, rhythmic substance to professional solos. And that's what you're going to have to focus on immediately from the get-go in order to get better. Like a lot of rhythmic varieties, not just quarter notes and eighth notes. Okay. The next thing is development. And these aren't really in any particular order. I'm just kind of throwing these out there, right? Development and motifs and repetitive patterns. So many times I hear professional artists just play so many notes. They're playing so many notes all the time. And I can't latch on to anything, even if it's like amazing. It might just be streams of unconscious notes, right? I'll up the tempo a little bit faster just so you can kind of hear what this might sound like. A 1, 2, 3, 4. It just keeps going on and on and on and on and on and on. Now, I mean, not to say that, like, that might be like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. But there's going to be a level that you reach that, again, if you start early trying to lay down some thematic content in your solo that requires motifs and repetitive patterns, you're already going to be well ahead of the game without having to learn much more. Like, you can already sound great by using these textures immediately now in your playing. So if I use motifs or patterns, think of it as utilizing Peter and the Wolf. You know, you have different instruments, different themes for different characters. You want to add that thematic development into your solo to do the same thing. So I might go. So that was a full chorus, and all I was doing was going back and forth between two notes. That's it. That was my whole theme. Now your ear can catch on to that, and you're like, ooh, this is fun. This is interesting. I like this. I can hear what's happening. And it feels good to the artist too. I mean, I'm not just talking about expressing yourself to appease the listener, but as an artist, you can take your time. You can enjoy what you're playing. You can enjoy the space, the development, and it can actually go somewhere, right? So after that, after my first chorus, then I can introduce a new theme, a new character, right? So if I finish up my chorus here on the two chord, here's my new character. So now I'm playing two different themes. I'm playing theme one from chorus one, theme two from chorus two. And I can continuously introduce new characters, new themes, new developmental ideas through this idea of motifs and repetitive patterns. Motifs are just like little small groupings of repetitive patterns, kind of like Lego building blocks, right? But again, this mental concept, if you can start to work on this early in your improvisation, especially, right? This is going to take you so far. And it's one of the things that I work on with my students in my live programs and obviously in goal three of the Proficient Jazz Pianist. But these things unlock secrets and doors for you, okay? Now, I only have a couple more. I have so many different types of things. And obviously, I think you're trying to you're catching on here at this point. But textures. I'm talking about textures, textural playing, okay? So next one's pretty easy and simple, but so many students neglect it. And that is the concept of dynamics, right? When we start soft or talk soft, and then I start to grow, you're going to feel something. You're going to hear something. There's going to be contrast. There's going to be movement, right? In whatever it is that you're playing. So if I start off, I'll take my two themes again, and I'm going to start off soft. And then I might grow them and then come back to soft again. Loud, right? Hopefully I didn't just bust your ears open. My bad if I did. But those types of contrasts make solos exciting and so enjoyable, right? There's so much more. It's like a boring story versus exciting, super exciting drama or thriller where you're just on the edge of your seat the entire time, right? It's how great movies, how great shows are made, right? How great music's made. Can you imagine if Beethoven, Brahms, or any classical piece had no dynamics? Dynamics is everything in classical music, and it should be everything in jazz as well. So you want to keep that on your mind constantly. You want to practice dynamics. Practice working at your dynamics, okay? Now, the last one, I'm going to kind of group these into two because I think you're getting the picture at this point, but space kind of goes along with motifs and development. You got to take space. Just just take some space, right? And practice taking space. And I work on this again a lot in goal three. And you have to take space. And the way that you play the piano is really, really important as well. So this is going to be more about articulation. If I'm playing all legato, so essentially right now, I was trying to play in a beginner way, but I like to kind of, you know, really give you an example of a beginner, but also play legato where I'm holding all the notes. Did you hear I'm holding all the notes? There's a lot of things happening. I'm holding all the notes. I'm playing only quarter notes and eighth notes, and that's it. So this tends to sound a lot like a beginner. Now, with the rhythmic variety, textures, space, and the way that I articulate my notes, I need to have accents. The piano is a percussive instrument. I need to hit the piano, like literally hit it. And for a lot of pianists that aren't used to this, a lot of pianists who didn't start with classical, I started with classical, and I had to do so many staccato exercises. And lately in my live programs, my mastermind coaching, I've been having all my students do staccato exercises, meaning staccato scales or staccato lines. So every single line that you play, improv line, has to be done in a staccato way. You're making every note pop. Now, both sound great. Here's legato. Here's staccato. At that speed, you can't really hear it. Let me slow it down a little bit, actually. Let me swing it. That's legato. Right? So it sounds a little weird, just but not in context. But here's what it would sound like in the blues if I play everything staccato. No, sorry. It sounds a little bit different than me going. Right? That sounds a little bit not as good for some reason. And it's because of the way I'm articulating the notes. So a lot of times students are playing again, it's not about notes. I could give you the same exact line and you could play it with me and it's not going to sound as good as I play it because you're playing it legato, right? So again, it's not about notes. It's not about notes. It's not about notes. It's not about the notes. So many of you are so encapsulated and just like enthralled and just mesmerized by notation and music and getting music to things, like getting the notation to transcriptions and voicings and lines, right? But if you just work on these particular textures from the get-go, again, this stuff starts to really unlock so many different things. It's like, you know, it's like being handed a tool and barely knowing. It's like putting a scalpel in a non-surgeon's hand versus putting a scalpel in a surgeon's hand, right? The surgeon knows how to use that in so many different ways in such a delicate way. Because they've worked on it. It's not about the tool itself. It's about how you wield it. It's about the minute subtleties of how you're utilizing. So it's not about the notes, right? Notes, three notes in my hands versus three notes in your hands is going to be a lot different to me, right? If I take these three notes, that's going to be complete. I could do a whole solo, play them differently, utilize dynamics, swing harder. And the three notes played by me is going to sound way, way better, right? And again, it's not because of the notes. So to wrap up, students and myself, I always thought the next thing I needed to learn was more notes, was more lines, more voicings. I need to get notation. I need to get transcriptions, right? Don't get me wrong. There's a place and time for all of that. But when you're building fundamental, right, cornerstones to your jazz piano improvisation. I'm talking about improvisation today because of the release of the Goal 3 Proficient Jazz Piano Improviser. When you're building the cornerstones, the faster you can get good at this, the more you can work at this, This is going to translate to everything else you do. And when you get more advanced tools, if you put more advanced tools in the hands of a student that's good at doing these things, it's over. It's over, right? It's just like, wow, you sound incredible. Because if I give you advanced tools to a beginner student who can't really play them and can't utilize and extract the full potential of them, doesn't make a difference. It's just like wasting the tool, right? So there's no point in learning that stuff unless you can really manage all these things, okay? So hopefully this is a great insight into creating solos and how you go about it and how you can make them so much better. Even that, just take everything you know now, which I promise you is 10 times more than you think you need to know. I promise you, everyone out there, you probably know way more than you think you do. Okay, take the things you know how to do and apply these textures to them. You will sound 100 times better instantly. If you're interested in that Black Friday offer, go to jazzpianoschool.com/Black Friday 2025 and you can get more information on the release of that Goal 3 Improviser, Proficient Improviser, as well as the entire offer in its entirety and all the other bundles and goodies. We got bonuses, discounts. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm so pumped for this. And we have a new platform coming in 2026, which you'll get free lifetime access to as well. So a lot going on here. Hopefully you're enjoying the new structure of the podcast. Please let me know. You can always write into support@jazzpianoschool.com. That's how we communicate with all the listeners, all the members, things like that. If you are enjoying this, please let me know. If you're not, let us know. It's okay. I won't take it personally. I love feedback. I'm good. I got thick skin. I'm from Boston. It's no problem. All right. Guys, have a great day. I got more coming to you very, very shortly, but enjoy. And if you haven't checked out the YouTube channel, go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool. Like and subscribe there because those are all lesson tutorials with videos. So if you're not on the road, you're at home and you want to study my education, my philosophies, you can go there to watch, share the channel. I'm really trying to bump up the subscription, so I'd really appreciate if you subscribe. And then obviously I appreciate any sort of 5-star review that you give the podcast. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.